Right, so it's Chanukah special, not because it's going to actually talk about Chanukah as a about Chanukah. It's going to talk about what was the mindset that the people had. Okay, obviously Chanukah is Chag of Emunah. The Maccabees had so much Emunah. Whether it's the war, whether it's the oil, whether it's a million other things. And Rav Cook here says something that I think you've definitely heard me quote this 100 million times, because to me it's phenomenal. But I think it's fundamental in many ways, and we'll see how it makes sense to learn this right now. Rav Cook says, "Hachush haruchani." What's chush?
Concern.
That's chashash almost. No. Chush is sense. Right? We have five senses. Chamesh chushim. Rav Cook says, after we have five senses, we have chush ruchani. Our five senses are physical senses. I eat, I smell, I taste, I see, I feel, I hear. Those are physical. Please. Hachush haruchani, hachush shebo efshar lachush et elokim. The spiritual sense is the one where you can sense God. Right? I want to sense the food. I'm going to use my smell first. Well, first my eyes, usually. That's the problem. My eyes, my nose, and then my mouth. Right? Also, I ask somebody maybe what's for lunch so I can also hear it. I can use more senses. Right? But those senses, if you're going to try to look for God with those five senses, you are going to fail. Okay? If you're going to try to hear God with these ears and see God with these eyes, that's not going to happen. Hachush haruchani, there's a spiritual scent. There's a sixth scent. Spiritual. Who intuitia meyuchedet. What's intuitia?
Intuition.
Great, thank you. Shenoledet beomek haishiyut. That is born in the depth of you, of your personality. The depth of your soul is where this intuition is born. This intuition is the spiritual sense.
Why is the word first soul with the word ish? Why is it not?
Ishiyut, personality.
Oh, personality. Okay. So okay.
כשמנסים לחוש את הקדוש ברוך הוא בחושים אחרים שנועדו לתחושות של חומר, לא מצליחים לגלות את הקדושה. When you try to sense God with the senses, the five senses that are here to sense physicality, you cannot sense spirituality. Right? Somebody asked me this during the summer, have you ever seen God? I said, many times, but not once the way you think. Right? Because I never saw him with my eyes. And that's why the Midrash is very crucial when it says that in Har Sinai, when they heard God, it was an internal hearing. They heard the sound and saw the voice. It was internal. It was beyond the physical. ואז נוצרים בלב כעס ותסכול שמובילים לכפירה ושיחת אלוקים. What happens when you try to sense God with your five physical senses? נוצרים בלב כעס ותסכול. Anger and frustration aroused in your heart. And those bring forth heresy and forgetting of God. When I try to see God with my eyes, when I try to hear God with my ears, when I try to feel God with my body, when I try to taste God with my mouth, smell God with my nose, I will fail. I will get angry, frustrated, and I will just presume that God does not exist. Which is right. God does not exist. God is existence. God does not exist in the world. What exists is something that we can see with five, we can understand, comprehend with our five senses. Right? The famous philosophical question, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, did it fall? Why is that a philosophical question? Of course it did. Well, if you can't sense it, did it happen? Something that happened, right, is only something that was perceived in one of the senses. God does not exist. God is Havaya. God is Yud Kei Vav Kei. God is existence. And therefore, when I try to understand God with my five senses, I will fail. There's a sixth scent, a spiritual one. That spiritual scent is born within your soul. It's an internal thing. Yeshnam dvarim ka'ele, she'asechel, levado lo yachol asim. There are things that your brain cannot understand. Okay? You can try to explain to me all day. All day. You know, how a Tesla works? I don't know. You know? Like, I won't get it. I won't get it. Combustion fuel, rockets. I don't understand these things. Right? I was listening to a Lachashir about when Shkia is in the Northern Hemisphere. Based on the circulation of the latitude lines and the spinning within the winter and the summer, it's going to be longer time between Tzeitz and Shkia. And I was like, okay, you lost me when you said latitude, altitude. I don't know these things. I don't know. You lost me, right? I know there's a machlokas, Rabbeinu Tam, Magen Avraham, when a Shkia is, when you lost me. There are things that my brain cannot understand. והם דרושים שאדם כולו יתרכז בהם. עם כל כוחות והרגשותיו. Sometimes in order to understand these things, I have to focus everything, right? Sometimes, you know, you meet a person, right? I remember I met this guy in Israel. He's like, what do you do? He goes, I'm in Kolel Zoven. I'm like, Kolel Zoven, what is that? He's like, so Kolel, well, all we learn is Zoven. I'm like, why? And he's like, well, Mesa Mingdash comes to Mantara. Nobody knows the halachas of Zavim. So all we learn is Ilch Zavim. And I was like, do you do Shtai Mikra? He goes, I'm dedicated. I only learn Zavim. And I'm like, first of all, I don't know why you picked that, you know? Like when we have a family friend who's an OBGYN. I was like, was this a decision you decided in high school? Like, when did you come up and say, I want to be an OBGYN? Like, when did that happen? Like, how do you... Right? It's a crazy mitzvah. But sometimes there are certain things that really, in order to understand, you have to be in depth in that and just that. And nothing else. Right? Nothing else.
Is that a real thing?
No, I'm not joking. Kolos of him. I'm telling you. There are like 300 guys.
I think there are more important things for the Beit
HaMikdash
to know than...
Yeah, I'm sure there's like Kolel, like Malika. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, today when you have so many Kolels, you know, you got a reason why these people need money. You got to make up and you take the bird's head off with your thumb and, you know...
Doesn't your Avi Nair Yeshiva only learn about the Beit HaMikdash?
First of all, Beit HaMikdash is wide, a lot wider than Zavim, okay? You know, yeah. I'm not... In Chinam, yes. Yes, I mean... So that's what it is. כדי להגיע למדרגות רוחניות כאלה, לא מספיק ששכל מפותח, אלא צריכים לעבוד מוסריות מאומצת ואמונה גדולה, ואז מדגים לדבקות פנימיות אלוהים. Sometimes in order to understand something, you have to be totally invested. Something that your brain can't understand, right? The truth is that your brain can understand anything. The question is, how much are you willing to make that your number one priority, right? And for all of you, you know this. You're coming to this major, you have these classes, you have to learn, you got to really shut yourself out from the world, right? There's a kid here, everybody makes fun of him. He's going to be in the library for like 7 days straight. Like, I don't know, he doesn't even go to the bathroom, he'll regulate his water fluid level. Like that's it, he's gone, he's done, right? And social media, black, he's everything, dark, gone. Sometimes, because in order to do this, sometimes you got to focus. Cook says, God is the most beyond conceptual thing. What's the only thing that will help you be able to a little bit connect to him? That's dvekus. What's dvekus?
Clinging.
Some people say cleaving. Some people say yearning. Right? Yearning. What?
You ever heard that as yearning? How interesting. I've never heard that.
Like the ultimate yearning is dvekus, right? Yearning that doesn't bring you closer, not yearning, right? But the idea is that in order for me to really be able to connect to God, it has to be dveikus. It can't start and stop with my intellectual learning. My intellectual learning is important. The more I learn Gemara, the more I learn Halacha, the more I learn Chumash, the more I learn Chassidus, the more I learn Musar, the more I learn, great. But if I'm not invested, it's not happening. It's not happening. Right? Rav Kook says, in order to develop this scent, this sixth scent, something key needs to happen. What's that key thing? Dvekut. Which in modern Hebrew, devek is?
Glue.
Glue. Right? Glue. I am glued to God. Right? It should be a new song. That
A schlock rock song?
Schlock rock song. I was thinking more like Yishai Rebo, like, you know. Like,
who's that?
Oh, he's amazing.
You'll do tshuva one day.
Oh, gosh.
You'll do tshuva one day. I mean, one day. I'm not saying it's going to happen now. It's sometimes.
Rob, send me any and all music that you like. I'd love to listen to it.
Hanan Ben Arid is my go-to. I fell in love with him. With his music.
Hanan Ben Arid?
Married with four kids. Also, he's a male. But that's beside the point, his music. Yeah, he's a phenomenon. I mean, Kol Sason just did it. Chad just did his song, Memcha, Izun. I'm not going to sing because Chad already told me that in my head I only sound like Hanan Ben Ari. So, mitoch lav at ashamei hen, not the hen, the English hen. So the idea is...
Wait, the English hen?
No,
not the English hen.
It was a Thanksgiving joke.
I thought we were doing Hanukkah today.
We are. Thanksgiving. Hanukkah is le'adotu le'alel, right? That's where Thanksgiving came. The first Thanksgiving fell out on Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the chag le'odotu le'alel l'shim chag gadol al nisecha al niflotecha ve'al yishuatecha. What?
That's actually true?
Like, if it actually fell out, who cares? It fell out.
Dude, Thanksgiving happened after Hanukkah. How could it have fallen out?
No, I'm saying the first Thanksgiving on that year, it was Hanukkah.
The first Thanksgiving.
Of course it was. Of course it was. Of course
it was. The first Thanksgiving.
Of course it was. Of course it was.
I thought last year was the only year. Yeah, there's no way.
No, it's going to happen. It has to happen.
You're taking this seriously?
Of course we do. We know the date and we know the year. Of course we do. Of course we do. Of course we do. Google it. Google it.
Columbus.
Google it.
Not Columbus.
No, a couple hundred years off.
All right, we didn't come here to talk about Nairishkeit. The English hen, the mitoch lavet hashamei hen, back to hodu l'Hashem. So Chanukah, right, so the idea is, and this is something phenomenal, why? Because the sixth cent, in essence, is the transcendence of myself. Okay? I end where I end. Right? In a very important way, my daughter... If something doesn't make sense to her, it's not real, right? If I try to explain to her that Sab and Safta are sleeping now, because in Israel it's night, but you're kidding. If she can't comprehend it, it's not real. We have the same thing also. We've been taught to also believe that there are things beyond our knowledge.
That's a great analogy.
But there's something, the greatness is the ability to not only understand that there are things beyond my knowledge, but understand that almost everything's beyond my knowledge, right? I just saw this paper that somebody, this article said that we know now about space 300 times more than what they knew 50 years ago, right? And we know like 0.2% of what we know that we don't know, okay? Too much knowing, right? We don't know anything. Everything we know about modern science, it's like 0% of anything. It's point something. It's a decibel. The amount we know about the Torah, right? Even when we say somebody knows Kol HaTorah Kula, right? I once said to some rabbis, I don't know. Arguing with Kola people. It's not the idea. The idea is that when I understand that I transcend myself, right? And this is a very big foundation in Kabbalah and in Rav Kook. There's me and there's I. I am Yonatan. But Yonatan is not me. Me is my soul who plays this character, Yonatan. In a different scene, I played something else. Probably a troubled, you know, high school girl. But that would explain a lot about my childhood. But I also, because like Eddie Murphy, I also play Avital, right? I am not Avital, I am Yonatan. Yonatan is who I am. But me and Avital, we're one, right? The me and that me. There's I and there's me. The I, and we're in the I generation, where everything starts and ends with I. Right? Right? Is
YouTube.
Is the problem.
Right.
There you go. Yeah, but that's you. That's them telling it's you.
Is you the opposite of I or opposite
no,
of me?
No, when it's you, then it's I. right?
Wait, stop. Say that again.
YouTube is like iTube, but it's them telling you that it's yours.
It's their iTube for your YouTube.
For you. It's right, the so I. It's back to the I.
Who is the counterpart of I, not the counterpart of me?
Right. Right.
What would be like the other person's me? What about MySpace? Is that like me or I?
That's the me.
That's dead.
Oh, that's the eye.
Yeah. That's not
that's the me. Okay, done, guys. Even you're driving me crazy, and this is my backyard.
Did you drive
eye
crazy or
me? No, me. it drove eye crazy a long time ago.
Now it's
driving me crazy, right? Also, I can't be driven crazy because I am crazy to begin with. Right? So it's only the me that's normal.
So is it driving crazy?
No, because that's what, you know, as Rabbi Shlomo Carbach said, someone once said to him, you and all everything you're doing here is crazy. So Rabbi Shlomo said, in a crazy world, to be called crazy is probably the only proof that you're sane. I said this also when I was arguing once with a good Hamas friend.
A Hamas friend?
Wow. Yeah. So,
even more, so, if you're crazy in a crazy world, you're insane.
Or you're out of sane.
Which means you're sane.
Which means you're inside.
Inside, normal.
No, out of sane would be...
Okay, now we're done. And done.
Chush
ha'emunah.
Poor guy.
Ha'emunah eina lo sechel ve lo regesh. Emunah is not brain and not emotion. Emunah is not intellectual and it's not emotional. Emunah hi chush. It transcends that. It transcends knowledge. It transcends emotion. It's a sense inside. Why do I believe you? I do. Right? This is important. Emuna is the voice of the soul. When you hear your soul speak, that's emuna. Okay? Kshelo mashchitim et teva haneshama, hi magi'a levadai lakol. Your soul is an automatic pilot. God programmed your soul to do what it needs to do in this world. Put it in this plane and said, automatic pilot. What happens? Who's sitting at the pilot seat? A good friend called ego. Ego, even though it says automatic pilot, has a very hard time letting plane go. Because that means that ego is unneeded. I was once flying from Jordan to Ukraine, right? From Amman to Uman. And the pilot said, I'm your pilot, we're taking off. And then he came out of the cockpit, put on a vest, and was the stewardess, and started giving us food. It was a one-person plane.
No.
Okay? And when we said to him, wait, who's in the cockpit? He said, automatic pilot. Right? Which, to all the people on the plane, was the coolest thing ever. To, you know, a kid to an American parents, that seemed like a craziest thing.
Was
that
like a 2x2 small plane, like 4 seats across? How big was it?
It was 3x3.
3x3 and one person for the entire plane?
Yeah. It was from Jordan to, you have to understand, who's flying.
It's like a 4-hour flight, isn't it?
It's a 1-hour flight.
But it's the country Jordan.
Ukraine is very
south. Okay, forget about, it was my first trip to Uman. That was my Border Patrol.
Jordan.
Because by the time I realized that I wanted to go to Uman, those were the only tickets left. It was like eight. It was the city of Eilat. The wonderful city of Eilat. All the Arsim of Eilat, and me and my three Bada'in friends. Okay, literally all of Eilat.
Why are they flying to Ukraine?
Oh, they go to Uman. Oh, Habibi. First of all, there are more Sephardim than Ashkenazim in Uman already, and there are more people who are not religious, observant, truly than not.
Sorry,
the opposite.
I wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah. There are more people who are not fully observant in their day, in their year, in their daily.
That come through mind.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
They've overpowered the rest by. Not that that majority got smaller, right? But it just.
No, but it's just they didn't play it.
Right, because this is where they connect. What?
That's amazing.
Where do they go?
Why?
Why do they go? Because inside something's telling them that they need to.
Not their ego, something else.
So right? So automatic pilot is flying. I can be the stewardess, right? Your soul is programmed to do exactly what it needs to do in the world. If you don't get in the way, it will be great. Right? What's getting in the way? Ego. That's why God says, "Kol hamitga'e en ani ve'yachol madur be'otadira." Right? God says, any sin you do, I'm still there. Right? Yishachanti itam betoch tumatam. Any sin you do, I'm still with you. Except for one. Hamitga'e. Right? What does Kadosh Baruch Hu say this every morning? Magbia shfalim, right? Mashpil ge'im. What does God do? Anybody who pops his head up, it's like, you know, the game, the hedge, the squirrels, whack them all. Correct, exactly. Whack-a-mole. So ego is the problem. Your soul knows exactly what to do. It's already been programmed. It knows how to find its way back to God. It knows. Right? But when you weaken your soul because you let yourself get in your own way, then you need emotion and intellect to convince the soul to get back on the path. Okay? That's why kids are the most pure thing in the world. And we, society, ruin children. Right? We teach them to care about reward and punishment, teach them to lie, teach them to be deceitful, teach them to say what people want them to say instead of what they want to say. Right? And we ruin them. And then we need, later on, seichel v'regesh, right? Torah and mitzvos, to remind yourself. One of the biggest foundations of Judaism, of Jewish education, is that I'm never teaching you something new. I am only reminding you things you forgot.
Exactly.
I am only reminding you things you forgot. I am never teaching you anything you don't know. Reb Shlomo, whenever he speaks, he says, "You all know," then he says something mind blowing, right? Because you all know that this is the premise of the conversation. I am never telling you something you don't know. Where in secular education, you don't know, and I'm telling you, right? That's why the famous joke. That's not a joke. The Jewish joke is that when you ask somebody a question, what does he answer?
Another question.
It's a question, right? Because I'm not here to tell, I'm here to awaken something, right? That's why Leila Seder, Seder night, is all about the kids asking questions. You know! How you phrase a question is how we'll phrase the answer. So someone comes and says, does God exist? And I say, does he? Hmm. Right? Once you phrase the question better, I can ask the answer, right? That's when everybody asks a lacha question, what's the answer? Machlokas. Great. Now, rephrase the question in a better sense of the way that I can understand better what you're trying to recall and we can remember together. The soul knows what to do. It's been programmed. That is called emunah. Right? Sometimes you forget. So you had to go to Uman to remember your emunah. Just a side joke, right? Obviously, regardless, you have to go. That's the trajectory. Anshei amana. So it says, then you have to use intellect and emotion to help the soul remember. But the soul doesn't need intellect and emotion. It's so much more pure than that. And that's why, right? Somebody asked me last year, how do you know she's the one? He goes, when do you know if she's the one? I said, it's very simple. It's very simple. When you're willing to marry her, even though you'll never know, then she's the one. When you're willing, when you love her so much that you don't need to know anymore, she's the one. Do I know if Avital's the one? I don't know. Did I feel? No. Right? And I told her, let's get married. She said, why? And I said, I have a vibe. She said, I'm not marrying a person just because he has a vibe. Come back with more. I didn't come back with more. She's just, I guess, I don't know. Right? I always say that she's better than me in everything except picking a spouse.
Yeah,
right?
I heard you.
Right? I had a vibe. Did I know? Do I know? I don't know. It's something much deeper. Same thing with God. When do you really know that you believe in God?
Don't.
When you don't need to know anymore. Right? If I'm constantly trying to figure out if God exists, God, Right? If somebody comes to me and goes, scientific proof God doesn't exist. I'll be like, amazing. Big Torah. Shkayach Rebbe. Right? Oh, Dead Sea Scrolls were found, right? They just found a body. 3.6 million years old, right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, they just found a body. Where? Where was it? In
somewhere in Asia, I think.
Yeah. I think it's in somewhere in India.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What then? What about? Yeah, as my daughter would say, Yasher Koach. Right? I'm not there. I'm not in that place. I definitely was. I went through that phase where I needed to know. I needed to, beyond reason, not beyond reasonable. I needed to get rid of my doubt. When do you really know? I don't know. How do you know if the Gra's right or the Baal Shem Tov's right? I don't know. I also don't care. They're both right. They're both wrong. They're both the same person. Right?
Same Torah. Right?
About it, they're the same person. Right?
Of course.
אבל תמיד צריך לזכור שהשכל והרגש הם רק משרתי האמונה. Mind and the emotion, the intellect and the emotion, the heart and the mind are only tools for אמונה. הם רק עזר לעורר ואז היא כבר אינה זקוקה להם. But once you awaken your אמונה, you don't need a brain and an emotion anymore. Once אמונה is on track, once automatic pilot is up and running again, you don't need anything. You don't need, right? Pilots don't even land the planes anymore or take off. They don't do that. They don't even do that anymore. Planes automatically take off and automatically land. Yeah. Pilots are only there if automatic pilot it malfunctions, or if birds hit the engine, as we know.
Yeah.
Like, or the cockpit, like it happened the other day. Yeah. Right? Then if automatic pilot, right? That's why, in the deepest depth, you don't need a rabbi. You only need God. That's why Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov didn't have rabbis. Shame ve'aver. Yeah, it's midrashim. They knew. Avraham Yitzchak knew all the Torah on his own. How? Oh, he assumed that if he didn't want to eat bread, it must be Pesach. No. He knew. It's automatic freaking pilot. It's only when we forgot, when we were in Egypt, we have to hear it externally. And what does the Torah tell us? What does the Zohar tell us? What did we hear? How do we hear the Ten Commandments? You heard your voice saying to you. It wasn't external. It was an internal you telling you. So the Meshilach says, the Torah is a list, a to-do list that you wrote yourself. You don't believe it? Research it. You don't believe it? Don't want to believe it. It's fine. You'll never be happy. This is a list that you, a list that you made for yourself. You don't want to follow it? Fine. You don't want to be a person of your word. That's what nobody's going to... It's for you. It's you of yourself, for yourself, from yourself. You heard yourself speak to yourself. Okay? Avraham Avinu heard himself tell himself, let's not eat bread for 7 days. And I was like, oh, for sure. Why would I not listen to myself? That's the stupidest thing in the world. An idiot doesn't listen to himself. Or if you have split personality, dementia, amnesia, all these other stuff that happen when you don't believe the Torah is yourself. How does this connect to Hanukkah? In every sense of the way. Hanukkah is not mentioned in the Torah. Yeah, here and there, a little bit in the Midrash and Gemara, I hear. Okay? Hanukkah is not about. Hanukkah is the greatest. Zohar says, the more there's halacha about something, that means that it's not coming from a high place. Why? Because it needs a structure. But the more something has less halacha oriented, the more you know it's lofty. Right? Hanukkah is probably the least halachic holiday ever. That's why it's called Chanukah Hu Chag Tov. Right? That's the lyrics. That's lyrics. Why is Chanukah Chag Tov? Because there's nothing to do. Right? Hasimcha Hu La'av. Abba's happy. Why? There's nothing to do. They light candles. Everybody lights candles. Chanukah could take... Chanukah could take 10 seconds of your 24 hours. Or Chanukah could be 24 hours of the day. Right? It's up to you. It's you. It's the inner you telling you what to do. I'm Shinov Rebbe. Chanukah candle, lighting candles by him.
Where's that?
I'm Shinov Rebbe in Baiz Vagan.
Oh, okay.
Eight hours. 8 hours lights Chanukah candles. 8 hours.
What?
8 hours. People come from all over the world to see him light candles. 8 hours.
How's like one
singing.
Candle an hour?
There's kavanas, there's singing, there's miras, there's this, there's that. It takes, it's a whole day. It's a happening.
Do they eat?
What?
Do they
after?
Eat? Jewish, of course.
No, I mean, he doesn't go to the bathroom. People might have to stop in the middle. I mean, it ends at like 3, 4 in the morning. I went once.
That sounds incredible.
I had zero patience. I was like, this
I mean, like, it sounds holy and everything.
No, I mean, listen, when you're in that ecstatic atmosphere, it's electrifying. You don't see the time pass.
Right.
It's beyond time, which is what Hanukkah is. But Rav Kook is telling us, and this is, I think, one of the greatest... if you understand this, your religious life will probably be 100 times easier. Your soul is on automatic pilot. All you have to do is get out of the freaking way. Right? That's what my Rebbe said. Mitzvah chinuch yeladim. Who educates the children? The wife. What's the husband's job? Get out of the way. Right? Says, I don't know who has a harder job.
Right? Or, you know, they could both educate and both get out of the way.
Maybe they're both the wife.
Or maybe they could just both educate.
Or they could both. Right? The idea is that the only thing that could interfere with the soul being on automatic pilot is your ego. Is your ego? Huh? Yeah.
Last night, Rabbi Grossberg, my rabbi from high school, came and gave a chumra. Gil was there, and he told us.
He knows the
rabbi,
though. I told you.
He was like, "Adi Rabba, we shouldn't be on automatic pilot. We should get off the automatic pilot." But I think maybe the kavanah that he was getting at was in regards to taking life and visualizing into the negative. Are you saying
the automatic pilot that he's talking about?
Yeah.
We should never be on. That's not an automatic. That's instead of the plane being on automatic pilot,
okay.
The ego being on automatic pilot. The pilot, right?
Okay.
The pilot being on automatic pilot, right? There's a difference between the plane being on automatic pilot and the pilot being on automatic pilot.
Right.
The pilot can be an automatic pilot. Why? His job is to be there if something goes wrong.
He's talking about like our ghost being on automatic pilot.
Right. So when you think that, right, you can never grow dull of Avodas Hashem if you're on the real automatic pilot. Because you'll feel alive every moment because you are exactly where you're going. The automatic pilot he's talking about is when the ego's on automatic pilot. When I'm doing things because that's what I was told to do, because that's what I need to do. Right?
You're saying...
If you're on a real place,
yeah.
That's what you want to do. Right? That's what you want to do.
How do you know your neshama is going to take you in the right direction, though?
It's beyond knowing. That's what Rav Kook is saying.
Yeah, but there's there's an assumption that the automatic pilot will always take you in the right trajectory.
Right. Because the soul has been set for a course. Every time you... What's the sin in Hebrew? Lechti. What's lechti? To miss. Anytime you sin, it's because you missed the trajectory. You have to get back on track. That's what tshuva is. Get back on the track that was set before you were born.
I can see the automatic pilot that my other Rebbe was talking about being in regards to the goof, the physical entity that's throwing you off. But are you suggesting that the neshama's automatic pilot is not affected by the environment? In other words, the environment is what can throw you off course.
Your perception of the environment, or your ego, that is getting affected by the environment, can throw you off.
What about your neshama?
Is it your neshama can't throw you off?
You're saying neshama is golden.
Of course. If somebody next to you is eating treif, on a neshama level, that is awakening the neshama.
You always know it's right. Your neshama always knows it's right.
Right? Rav Nachman says, I don't know why people get so upset. I don't know why people are always confused. Just ask yourself, would this bring Nachas Ruach to God or not? Great, Rav Nachman. Because we all just get a yes or no right away, right? So Rav Nachman's on that level, right? The Tzaddik Em is on that level where you can just ask himself, is this going to make God happy or not? Right?
So there's always something inside that's telling you this is the right or wrong thing. That's your neshama.
It's not about, right? It's beyond right or wrong. It just feels right. Right? It's beyond conceptual right or wrong. It feels right. This feels like the right thing to do.
And so the ideal is to have that balance between the neshama autopilot and the goof autopilot.
No. The balance is to let the neshama steer.
Yeah.
Remove myself. Right? Famous Baal Shem Tov Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Am Yisrael, says, when he's talking about Matan Torah, says, Ve'anochi omeid benechem ben Hashem. And I'm standing between you and between God. What does the Baal Shem Tov say? Ve'anochi omeid b'fnechem ben Hashem. You know what's standing between you and God? You're anochi. your ego, your anochiyut. The only thing separating you from God is yourself, your ego, your need to be in control, your need to mark yourself here, your need to put a patent on it, your need to say it was me, your need to be appreciated, your ego. That's why matan beseter yichfe af. What's the only thing that can overturn the harshest decree? Matan beseter. Right? Giving when nobody knows. Making sure nobody knew that I did something good. The more I can do things that nobody knows, the more I can run away from the spotlight, the better I'll be. The more I need spotlight, the more problematic my life will be. Your neshama knows what to do. All you have to do is remove your ego. Now, because your neshama already forgot, because it's been so turned around in circles, you need your brain and you need your emotion to steer in the right direction. That's what the Torah is. But the MS, you are the Torah. You're a letter in the Torah. Israel, Oraita, the Israel, the Kucha Brichu Chadu. You're all one. You're all the same thing. You're all the same thing. The only thing that's separating you from the Torah or you from Am Yisrael is your conception, is your ego, is your need to be. Right? Famous story I tell about Nevinzel. We'll end with this. Is that someone, right? Someone says Nevinzel? Shlita? He goes, what do you think about the fact that every time you walk in the room, everybody gets up? So he says, they don't stand up when I walk in the room. They stand up when Harav walks into the room. Happens to be that Nevinzel always walks in at the same time. They don't stand up for me. Stand up for Harav.
Torah.
It happens to be that Nevinzel and Harav always walk in at the same time. Harav, Nevinzel. Two separate entities.
You're saying Kavod, the concept of Kavod, standing up.
Right. Standing for Harav. If he wasn't Harav, nobody would stand up. They don't stand up for Nevinzel. They don't stand up for me. They don't stand up for this.
I almost asked him that question last time.
They stand up for the Torah. The first time they asked him, he said, really? He didn't even notice. Then, obviously, they pointed out to him. He started noticing. But then, he realized that they're not standing up for me. They don't stand up for me. Stand up for Harav.
The Rav is referring to the Torah that Shlomo.
For sure. Standing up for the Kedusha. My ego, okay, if I can remove my ego, my soul will just hit the ground running.
That's like the aspiration. We should all achieve that right level.
And because we've been so off course, we have to use our brain and our heart to tell us how to get back on track.
Wow.